Highnesses, Your Excellencies, my lords, ladies and gentlemen.
I say, if you were terribly impressed by the way I did that, I would like to point out I'm available for sponsored banquets. Sorry. The Embassy Lark, written by Lawrie Wyman and starring Frank Thornton and Derek Francis. For the private individual, the Morning Post can be ugly enough at times, especially when it consists of those short, sharp letters that herald the potential arrival of a little man in a flat hat, with a spanner and no sense of humor, but with a grim determination to cut off everything at the main, preferably forever. Well, in the diplomatic service, men like our ambassador to Tratia, Sir Jeremy Crichton Buller, and his first secretary, Mr. Henry Pettigrew, faced this daily terror twice. They also copped the official communications from Whitehall. And as a rule, there's not much of a sense of humor about them either. Today is one of those days.
And what jolly tidings arrived in the diplomatic bag this morning, Mr. Pettigrew?
None, sir.
Well, that's hardly a novelty, is it? I gather the last time anything cheerful came out of that blasted thing was the news of the relief of Mafeking. And that was 6 months after it happened.
Well, Whitehall is running true to form this morning, sir. The Ministry of Works has granted permission for you to employ a gardener to cut the grass in front of the embassy.
There isn't any.
Quite. But if there was, you could cut it immediately, sir.
Very generous of him. Pettigrew, I recognize the form. You're telling me the nice bit first. What's the stinker you're hoping not to tell me until after I've had my morning sherry?
Far be it from me to admit that you spotted my system, sir, but would you care for a glass of sherry?
At 9:30 in the morning.
Well, I don't mind waiting a couple of hours, sir.
All right, let's have it. Tell me the worst.
It concerns last month's accounts, sir.
Oh, Lord.
Briefly, sir, the Foreign Office object to a certain item on our returns. They reckon that to entertaining the American ambassador for one evening, £173.10, a trifle excessive.
How excessive?
They won't pay a penny of it.
Skinflint.
They suggest this item should be met by your personal allowance for this month, sir.
They're joking. That had all gone on the first of last month.
Well, perhaps it wouldn't have looked quite so bad, sir, if you hadn't tried to include your losses at poker.
But that was all part of the entertainment. For him.
In a way, I suppose you could say you sent our American cousin back to his embassy happy.
Happy? Blasted gun-chewing idiot was hysterical. Mind you, he did present us with that whiskey.
Possibly, sir. But frankly, I'd have said £173.10 is pretty steep for half a bottle of bathtub rye.
Oh, I don't know. Last couple of shots packed quite a kick. My word, I was horrible the next morning.
Yes, sir, you were.
Don't remind me. Now, look, this is serious. We're £173.10 up the creek.
With due respect, sir, we are not. You are.
Don't haggle. This is going to mean stringent economies.
No more free bathtub whiskey?
That's not an economy, that's medical advice.
You know, they tell me you both marched down the steps to his car singing Stars and Stripes Forever, sir.
Do I? Oh, well, they're probably right. What bothers me is a stone-cold sober. I don't even know the words of the blasted thing.
Well, if it's any consolation, sir, I also understand that you were only la-la rum-tum-tiddling it. And a very pretty la-la rum-tum-tiddle it was.
Pettigrew, something has got to go.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
In time, I may, Simpkins, but not at the moment. I'm chattering.
But there's a...
Simpkins, I shan't warn you again. Now, where was I?
Something's got to go, sir.
Exactly. And we'll start by seeing if we can't cut down on staff.
I do beg your pardon, sir.
Why? I didn't hear anything.
Well, I was about to say, sir...
Simpkins, if you don't shut your cake hole, you'll find yourself part of the economy drive.
Oh, which part, sir?
The economy part. Now, what are you waffling on about?
Well, there's this person, sir.
What person?
In the hall, sir. He wants to see the ambassador.
Does he? Well, the ambassador's got 173 and a half problems to solve before he sees anybody. You deal with the fool.
But he did particularly say...
Simpkins, according to standing instructions, in the event of a nuclear holocaust in which the entire embassy staff, including myself, were wiped out... It would be your duty to carry on as representative of Her Britannic Majesty, would it not?
Well, yes, sir.
Right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, bang. You're it.
Oh, but sir...
Don't argue, Simpkins. Deal with this person. Project the ambassador's image. Think big.
Right now, sir, I'm not at all sure I can think at all.
Then flaming will force yourself. We're busy.
Well, all right, then. I'll do my best. One can't do more, can one?
Yes, one can. One can buzz off out of it.
I was going, actually.
Good. Let us know how you got on later.
I'm most terribly sorry, Mr. Never mind. I'm terribly sorry, but the ambassador is most frightfully sorry that he is unable to see you at the present. He asked me to inquire if there is anything I can do to assist.
In other words, as far as I'm concerned, he's out and you're lumbered.
Yes.
Don't worry, son. In my state, I'm used to it. And this is where you can do yourself a real favor.
Just what is it that you are selling, Mr.?
Selling? Me? Selling? Mr. Simpkins, I am offering you the golden opportunity of a lifetime.
Oh, really? How nice.
I am in a position to offer you a specially reduced purchasing offer.
Thought so. How much and what for?
And incredible as it may seem, Mr. Simpkins, just for the sake of a few coppers and shillings per week, this embassy can become a positive storehouse of knowledge.
Well, actually, I believe it's already supposed to be one.
You're intrigued already.
No, I'm not.
Now, I'm not supposed to tell you this.
Then please don't bother. I do have a lot.
Mr. Simpkins, please. Don't interrupt me now. I've learnt all this off by heart. One more word from you and I'll lose my place, and then I'll have to start all over again.
Heaven forbid.
What I'm offering you is the eighth wonder of the world. Through me, this embassy can be the proud owner of the Encyclopedia Tradvianica. There! Aren't you excited?
No, I'm not.
I knew I was right. I realized the moment I saw you that you are a young man who is obviously going to get on, Mr. Simpkins. Why, with all that knowledge jammed into your bonks, I wouldn't be at all surprised if I'm not talking to a future prime minister.
Oh, come now. You're just saying that. You are, aren't you?
No, I mean it. Now, I've got the forms here. If you just sign on behalf of the embassy, I'll see that you get a delivery within a...
Oh, no, really, I couldn't do that. We are trying to economize.
Who isn't? Now, as this is an embassy, you'll want the deluxe leather-bound gold-embossed edition, of course.
No, really, I can't possibly...
Think big, Mr. Simpkins, think big. And whilst you're thinking, sign here.
Oh, dear. I think I really ought to ask
you... Use my pen, please. Then one day when you're Prime Minister, I shall be able to show it to my children and tell them that it was once used by the Right Honourable Mr. Simpkins.
Oh, all right then. There. Incidentally, how much does the embassy owe you?
Well, there are 36 volumes.
What?
And being an embassy, you'll insist on paying cash on delivery, of course, which comes out to the... ridiculously small sum of £240.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Lovely to have met you, Mr. Simpkins. Your ambassador will be pleased with you. Good day.
It's a joke, Pettigrew. It's got to be. It is, isn't it? I mean, this is just some way of trying to break the news to me gently that Simpkins has gone round the twist.
I only wish it was, sir.
£240?
At least he thought big, sir. Horribly big.
Possibly. You told him to project my image, not my wallet. I'm already £173.10 up the spout.
So you keep reminding me, though.
I suppose you haven't...
Nor does anyone else, though. I've asked. Try to look at it this way, sir.
What way?
It was a good career while it lasted.
Oh, you're a great comfort. What the hell am I going to do?
Of course, the unfortunate thing is that there was that Treasury instruction that all major purchases must be approved first. And as we already have a copy of the Encyclopedia Tradvianica in the embassy, I very much...
You're loving this, aren't you? Every penny of it.
Of course not, sir.
Vulture. Who is it?
Simpkins, sir. Urgent telegram for you, sir.
Well, come in, then.
If it's all the same to you, sir, couldn't I just push it under the door?
Simpkins, stop being such a cowardy custard and come in.
Here you are, sir.
Good gracious, feet never touch the ground.
I'm not surprised. At that speed, they must be red hot.
Read the telegram, Pettigrew.
Certainly, sir.
Well?
It's addressed to you, sir.
Well, I gathered that.
And it says, Trad Group arriving.
What?
That's Whitehall Ease for trade mission on its way, sir.
Oh, thank heaven for that. I'm not the happy hoedown type. Go on.
I was about to. Trad Group arriving Friday for promotion of export market in Trapia. In conjunction with this, please make necessary arrangements, reception and tour by Princess. Stop. Details follow. Signed, Moot.
Who?
Moot. Ministry of Overseas Trade.
Well, this is ludicrous. What's happened to all the usual protocol? Some chutney-head in the ministry sending us telegrams that a princess is going to arrive here on Friday. There's only like enough time to get things organized. We usually get 6 months' warning at least.
Presumably, it's a very important and urgent trade mission, sir.
Who cares? Oh, this is where I get out of the muck. Don't you realize, Pettigrew? With royalties staying here, the Foreign Office will expect us to spend a bomb.
I gather you mean the small pop made by your disallowed expenses will never be noticed if it's tucked in with the rest of the bang.
Exactly. With what this lot is going to cost, my £173.10 and the £240 for those blasted books should disappear very nicely.
Come to think of it, sir, you might even be able to show a profit.
Pettigrew. We are supposed to be gentlemen. And when you're fiddling the books for the Treasury, there are certain rules. Rule one is that one does not show a profit.
What's rule two, sir?
Make damn certain they don't show one either. Now then, where's the wife?
Daphne! Daphne!
Oh, coming here!
Don't argue, woman, this is urgent!
I wonder which princess it is. I suppose if we find that when the advanced luggage arrives, we can't move for expensive cameras, it should give us a fair idea.
I don't think it's their turn for a travel warrant again yet.
Now, where's Daphne got to? Daphne!
Oh, here I am, dear. Oh, I did run all the way.
Well, so I should think. We've got royalty coming on Friday.
Oh, that'll be nice, dear. Will they be staying to tea?
Staying to tea? Daphne. Have you any idea how far it is from here to London?
Well, 2,000 or 3,000 miles, I suppose, dear. Why?
I think Sir Jeremy was trying to indicate that it's rather a long way to hop on a bus for a pot of tea and a fish-paste sandwich.
Oh, yes, 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 I suppose it would be. Oh, well, we'll just have to put them up for the night, shan't we?
Oh, give me strength!
Now, you will remind me again on Thursday, won't you, dear? Because it'll give me time to get the bed there.
Daphne!
And I must tell Cook to put a note out for the milkman, because we're bound to need extra.
She only listens to part of it, you see. That's the trouble.
Now, would chops be all right for the evening? Because I am a bit short with the house.
Daphne! It is not somebody called Fred and Gladys royalty coming. It's a princess and her entourage.
Oh, that'll be nice, dear. Now, where was I?
Driving me up the proverbial. Do you realize that we've got between here and Friday to get the principal guest rooms redecorated?
Yes, I know they are a bit shabby.
I hardly think shabby is the word, Lady Daphne. I'm quite sure if one looked hard enough, one would find we've still got a shilling in the slot meter for the gas fire.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
And one can't really have a Royal Highness nipping up and down the stairs trying to borrow shillings, can one?
One certainly can't. Daphne, yes. I want you to organize the whole suite. Get it completely redecorated and refurnished. That colour scheme that we had at the embassy in Madrid would do very nicely.
Oh, very well, dear.
In the meantime, Pettigrew and I will work out the tour of the city, the state ball, tea at the Lord Mayor's parlour, and all the other official codswallop.
Excuse me, but I thought I'd better pluck up courage and tell you. They're here.
What? They're not due till Friday.
Well, they're here all the same, Mr. Pettigrew.
Ruined before we start. Where are they now?
Well, there were so many of them, sir, I put them up on a shelf in the study.
He's gone. The only explanation. I thought he was well on the way for some time. Come on, we must get him down.
Just a moment, sir. Simpkins, who or what exactly has arrived?
36 volumes of the Encyclopedia Trappianica, sir. I also got a free presentation English Trappian pocket phrasebook.
Good, I'll have that. I want to look up the Trappian, for my undersecretary is about to be struck by lightning.
Right, sir. I'll go and get it straight away.
If you value your life, Simpkins, don't come back for a week.
But I've already had my leave for this year, sir.
Hit him, Pettigrew! Hit him! Hit him!
Good morning, Sir Jeremy.
Today is the big day, then, sir?
Don't remind me. I'm nervous enough already.
Well, they can hardly complain about the principal guest room, sir. I must say Lady Daphne has worked wonders to get them ready in time.
She has an infallible system. She used money. 3,000 quid's worth.
Well, it shouldn't be too difficult to lose your little problem in the middle of that lot, should it, sir?
No, it shouldn't. Have those idiots finished painting up there yet?
Not quite, sir. They would have finished before, but they had to keep going back to retouch in all the finger marks.
What finger marks?
Yours, sir. On every door where you tested to see if it was dry yet.
Oh. Well, I was just taking an interest. I thought they'd be pleased.
Take it from me, sir. They weren't. Oh, any news from the air traffic control at Trappier Airport, sir?
Who?
The chap and his young son in the watchman's hut at the end of the runway.
Oh, they... No, they promised to phone through as soon as they know what time the royal flight is likely to land.
Well, it shouldn't be long now. I've sent Sydney out to the airport in the Rolls already, and there's a hire car standing by to take us out there as soon as we know the time of arrival.
Good man. By George, I'm going to write a stinker to those idiots in Whitehall when this lot's over. Expecting us to mount a full royal reception in 4 days is a bit much.
I take it the details to follow still haven't, sir.
Not a ticky bird. Every time I've tried to ring the Minister of Overseas Trade, the fool's been too busy answering questions in the House to answer mine. You answer, Pettigrew. The way my nerves are this morning, if I pick it up, I shall only drop the blasted thing.
Hello?
Mr. Pettigrew.
What is it, Martha?
Well, it's not what it is, Mr. Pettigrew. It's what it was.
This is obviously going to take some time. I see. I'll try again. And what was it, Martha?
It was Sydney, Mr. Pettigrew.
Sydney?
Yes, Mr. Pettigrew. He phoned through about a quarter of an hour ago, but they couldn't find John.
I've been in here all the time.
Oh, very possibly, Mr. Pettigrew, but you didn't tell me, and I'm not physic.
Never mind. What Sydney phoned about? Has the rolls broken down?
Oh, certainly not, Mr. Pettigrew. Sydney would never allow it.
All right, Sydney is a bright lad. What's happened?
Sydney phoned to say that he's on his way back with the expected party.
What?
Yes, he also said something about them arriving on a normal scheduled flight and he wouldn't be long.
Oh, no.
Yes, and he also reversed the charges because nobody in the car had any small change.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you very much.
We've dropped the first one, I presume.
From an incredible height, sir. The royal party have arrived and are on their way back to the embassy.
I see. Well, I suppose I may as well write out my letter of resignation now and hand it in on the steps.
Why, doubt it is time, sir. They must be almost here.
Right, come on, let's get out in the hall. At least we might be able to save Her Royal Highness the indignity of having to ring the front doorbell in the hope of finding us in. Don't just stand there, Pettigrew. Do something.
What can I do, sir? I mean, with due respect, trying to get rid of the wet paint on your fingers by wiping them on the seat of your morning suit trousers wasn't the best idea you've had today, was it?
But what am I going to do?
You'll just have to receive her by the big vase of flowers, sir. Then perhaps you won't notice the subtle undertone of turps.
No, it's no good. I'll just have to nip upstairs and change. On the other hand, perhaps I'd better stand by the big vase of flowers.
You can't, sir. You must meet Her Royal Highness at the door. Quick, she's getting out of the...
Now what?
Well, look. Which HRH is that?
We'll find out later. Signal the Tratvian household trumpeters.
But I've never...
Don't argue!
Oh, very well. Bandmaster!
Oh, Tower, I'm sure. I am your Snow Bright Princess, and I bring you law greetings from Snow Bright Detergents Limited. If you have a packet of Snow Bright, I shall give you £5. And if you have two packets or one large economy grand officer, I shall give you £10. I always get it wrong. Always provided, of course, that you know our John Withett slogan. How'd you do?
An open carriage procession through the city. Tea with the Lord Mayor.
Opening the new Trappian Gallery of Art.
600 invitations to the State Ball.
Jordan party in the embassy grounds.
An audience with the Archbishop of Trattier.
£3,000 redecorating the principal guest rooms. And a reverse charge call from Sydney.
Where?
Our Sydney, not Australia.
Almost enough for one day, I should think.
The only gleam of hope I can see, sir, is if everybody we've invited to that lot turns up with a large economy, grand opera-sized packet of Snow Bright, we might make the company bankrupt.
Here, what's going on? Didn't you get what I said? I am your Snow Bright princess, and I'll bring you...
No, Rita, not him. He's the ambassador.
And who, may I ask, are you, sir?
I'm a publicity officer, Ernie. Ernie Moot.
Moot?
I sent you a telegram.
Moot. Ministry of Overseas Trade.
It all fits, doesn't it? Like some hideous jigsaw puzzle that should never have been taken out of a box.
Well, I must say, gents, you've certainly done Rita and I proud. If we don't get overseas trade going in Tratsea for good old Snow Bright salt powder, then it certainly won't be your fault. No, sir.
Let her go.
Sir.
Get rid of them. Hide them somewhere. I've got to think. And after careful consideration, I feel that the only correct decision left to me is to offer me resignation as... No, start again.
What are you doing, dear?
I should have thought that was pathetically obvious, Daphne. I'm turning the job in.
Oh, that'll be nice for you, dear.
Not a word. Not one single solitary blasted word. Now then, in submitting the enclosed detailed accounts of what we thought was going to be a royal visit, I would also like to attach my immediate resignation.
Is something the matter, dear?
Daphne, in case it has escaped your notice, we have just spent the last few days entertaining entirely at Her Majesty's government's expense some uneducated little twit whose only claim to fame is that she's the princess of a box of soap powder.
Well, we all have to start somewhere, dear.
Daphne, please! Just leave me to my misery. Now then... In case it has escaped your notice, I am entirely responsible for the ludicrous debacle outlined in the enclosed returns. I can only say...
I'm sorry to bother you, sir.
At this moment, Mr. Pettigrew, I'm delighted to be bothered. What is it?
There's a gentleman to see you, sir.
No, thanks. I've got two sets of the Encyclopedia Tretvianica already.
No, sir. Now, this gentleman is the Queen's messenger, sir.
Dear, does that mean you've been fired before you could resign, dear?
Probably. What's he want?
To see you, sir.
Very well. Wheel him in.
Certainly, sir.
This way, Mr. Bentley. Yes. Usually by the time I get here, everyone's gone out.
What was it you wanted, Mr. Bentley?
Well, I wouldn't say no to another job for a start. Being a Queen's messenger isn't what it was, you know.
Really?
Well, figure it out for yourself. I'm entrusted with secret documents and messages which I have to deliver personally. But in these days of scrambler telephones, bouncing television pictures off lumps of old iron in the stratosphere and all that, by the time I get anywhere by train, they already know.
Very frustrating for you.
Oh, you've no idea. You see this silver greyhound badge in my lapel. Now, what do you think that means?
It means you're a Queen's messenger.
You're wrong. It means that I'm an international dog's body. The last time that a Queen's messenger got through with some news that the recipient didn't already know was right here in Tratvia.
Oh, and what news was that, Miss Benson?
The relief of Mavikin. And even that was 6 months afterwards.
Well, the train was late.
Mr. Bentley, do you think the ambassador could possibly have the message you've brought this time?
Or do I have to wait 6 months?
Oh, now don't worry the gentleman, dear. You had a long journey. Let me phone down to the kitchens and ask them to get you a cup of tea.
Oh, no, please, ma'am. I'd rather go down and tell them myself. If you phone down, it'll be stone cold by the time I get there. I know it's only a cup of tea, but just for once, let me be first with the news. Even if it is only the cook.
All right, then. But what dispatch are you carrying for me?
Eh? Oh, dear. That's all I needed all this way, and I nearly forgot. Here you are, sir. Please note that the seal is unbroken.
Duly noted, Mr. Bentley. Pretty, isn't it?
Daphne, yes. Take him away and give him a slug of gin or something.
Oh, yes, certainly, dear. This way, Mr. Bentley. Come and have a slug of gin or something.
You read it, Pettigrew. I've had enough for 1 week.
If you insist, sir.
It's addressed to you, sir.
Well, I gather that. Go on.
I was about to, sir. It reads, Tread Group arriving.
What? Pettigrew, if you're taking them...
Just hang on, sir. This is the genuine article. There is going to be a royal visit next month.
That settles it. You are taking them.
No, sir, I'm not. Just look for yourself. Look. Treasury have authorized the expenditure of £3,240 on the refurbishing of the principal guest room.
Don't shoot. Just a minute. £3,240?
Yes, sir. Offhand, I'd say that takes care of what we've already spent on the redecoration, plus Simpkins' deluxe leather-bound gold-embossed set of the Encyclopedia Trappianica.
It most certainly does.
However, it still leaves you with the small matter of £173.10, which is not...
Oh, yes, it is. Better go.
Sir?
At current prices, what would you say is the present value of a second-hand set of deluxe leather-bound gold-embossed Encyclopedia Trappianica?
Well, sir, provided they were complete with an English Trappian pocket phrasebook, I'd say about £173.10.
Very reasonable. Well, don't hang about, man. Bang your old clothes on and get down to the market and flog the beastly things.
Me? Oh, very well, sir. If you insist. Look, sometime later in the week, I'll get somebody...
Don't argue, Pettigrew. This is urgent.
Why?
Oh, I didn't tell you. I've invited the American ambassador back this evening for a return game of poker.
Oh, please.
Don't worry about the booze. He's bringing it. They've had another brew up in the bath. Off you go. And don't take any near office.
Lark, written by Laurie Wyman, stars Frank Thornton as Henry Pettigrew and Derek Francis as Sir Jeremy Crichton Buller. Lady Daphne Crichton Buller was played by Charlotte Mitchell. Simpkins was Michael Spice, and the Encyclopedia salesman was David Fallon. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.